88. Lydia. The rest of the journey through the mountains had been mostly uneventful. The greatest threat, the rapids of the river, but even those eased after that night. And it wasn't long until they were into the foothills, the forests dense and full of wildlife that had been nearly absent from the mountains themselves. Baird eased the boat against shore, and Agrippa and Killian climbed out to drag the battered vessel up onto the gravel, holding it in place while the survivors climbed out. Lydia climbed up the bank, taking a seat in the thick grass covering the slope and resting her head on her knees, silently telling herself if she ever saw a boat again, it would be too soon. "Thanks again for traveling with us," Agrippa said loudly to the backs of his passengers as they wearily climbed the bank, faces drawn as they walked past Lydia with nothing more than the clothes on their backs and their lives. "Do recommend our services to your friends."
"Don't get many repeat customers, do you?"
Killian asked, helping Baird drag the boat farther out of the water.
"Not a one."
Agrippa scowled at the boat.
"And after this last trip, I think it's time I passed this business opportunity on to someone else. Gold in the pocket does me little good if I'm floating face down with wild men arrows in my back."
"I've been saying that for a month, you skinny little shit,"
Baird said.
"About time you saw reason."
Agrippa shrugged.
"Was good while it lasted."
"No,"
the giant replied.
"It was not."
Lydia was inclined to agree. No amount of gold would entice her to take another journey through the Lyratoras, although it wasn't lost on her that if they were successful in retrieving Malahai, they were going to need to find a way out of Darren.
"What will you do now?"
Killian asked, trying and failing, in Lydia's opinion, to look disinterested.
"Go see if Rufina is ready to put me back on her payroll, I suppose,"
Agrippa answered.
"Commanding an army is easier work."
"So you're going to head to Halatha, then?"
"Yeah."
Killian's gaze flicked to Baird.
"You?"
The giant shrugged.
"I go where the little man goes."
"I am not little,"
Agrippa glowered.
"You are merely profoundly large."
The pair bickered back and forth. Then Killian said,
"Gertrude and I are heading that way as well."
Lydia struggled not to scowl at him. Agrippa and Baird had seen too much for them to not be suspicious of her and Killian. They needed to part ways with them now, not venture into the underworld with the commander of its armies. What was he thinking?
"You could travel with us,"
Agrippa said.
"Rufina could use a man with your talents."
"He's not looking for a job soldiering," Lydia said loudly, glaring at Killian. "He's going to take up farming, or become a merchant."
"Honorable, safe professions,"
Agrippa smirked.
"But don't sit there and pretend that's what you're interested in, Gertrude. You like the excitement, admit it."
"You are mistaken." She injected as much frost into her voice as she could. He held up his hands.
"So sorry, beautiful. Farming is a wonderful profession, and I'm certain you will both have a fulfilling life growing potatoes together."
Killian laughed, and Lydia glowered at him.
"Either way," Agrippa said, "the road to Halatha is far from a safe one, so perhaps you'll allow me the courtesy of ensuring you arrive in one piece."
There wasn't much she could say to that. "I hope it will be less eventful than the first half of our journey together, Agrippa." He grinned.
"No promises."
Then he rounded on Killian.
"Though, don't let me tie you to me with coin, Tom. You more than earned your wage."
Digging into his pockets, he counted out glimmering gold, Killian looking more and more delighted with each coin Agrippa dropped into his palm.
It was probably, she thought, the first time he'd ever received a wage, and the novelty clearly overwhelmed his good sense, for he said, "We'd be glad for the company." "Perfect." Agrippa stretched, cracking his back. "Let's get underway. There's a village about an hour from here with an inn that makes the most excellent stew." He continued prattling as he walked down the path next to the river, Baird following at his elbow.
"Have you taken leave of your senses?"
Lydia hissed under her breath as Killian came up next to her. "We can't trust him."
"I'm aware."
Killian shoved the coins in his pocket.
"Agrippa fully intends to turn on us, but us parting ways isn't going to stop him from doing that."
"You think he wants his gold back? If that's the case, why in the name of all the gods did you take it in the first place?" He gave her an affronted look.
"Because I earned it several times over."
Crossing her arms, she waited for him to give her a proper answer.
"It would have looked strange if I hadn't,"
he finally said.
"And no, I don't think it's the gold. He repaid everything he took from those people. I saw him slipping it back into their pockets earlier. No one but me noticed."
Which seemed both entirely out of character and also exactly what she'd expect from the ex-legionnaire. "Why?"
"I don't know. But I'd rather have him where I can see him than have to constantly watch over my shoulder."
Killian interrupted.
"Keep your wits about you. I expect he'll do it soon, and he's not stupid enough to take me on without help."
They fell into silence after that, both of them staring at Agrippa's back as he walked and sang bawdy alehouse songs, Baird occasionally joining in with his deep baritone. They reached the village he'd spoken of without incident, and partook in what was, in fact, very good stew before carrying on down the road, Agrippa never ceasing his endless chatter. It was nerves. With what Killian had told her sitting in her head, Lydia noticed the tension in Agrippa's posture, how he was no less watchful for them being out of the Liratores than he had been when there was fear of wild men and worse. And yet nothing happened.
"There's a town up ahead where we can get rooms for the night,"
he finally announced as the sun was beginning to set. Turning to walk backward, he grinned at Lydia.
"A hot bath, Gertrude, with soap."
"You three availing yourselves would do me more good than soaking myself," she answered, wrinkling her nose.
"Tubs are always too small,"
Baird grumbled.
"Haven't had a proper bath since I left Aeton Isle."
"When did you leave?"
Killian asked. It was the first thing he'd said in hours.
"And why?"
15 years ago, give or take,"
the giant answered.
"Lost my woman to a life debt during the last war with Mudamora, which was a bitter tonic to swallow. Decided I wasn't interested in a life spent sitting on some rock keeping the endless seas still, and took to the road, which my people took issue with. Gesperin won't mark another summoner until I'm dead, so they put the hunt on me. Darren proved the best hiding place. That's where I met the little man here. Sorry, I mean the average man here."
"Nothing about me is average," Agrippa said. "Especially not."
"What made you decide to fight for Rufina?" Lydia interrupted before he could finish.
"No one decides to fight for Rufina,"
Baird said wearily.
"You obey or you die."
"I hate to add another sorrowful note to this dismal conversation, but I'm afraid I have bad news, Gertrude,"
Agrippa said.
"It doesn't look like you're going to be getting that bath after all."
"Why?" she asked, then yelped as Killian pulled her closer to him, his weapon in hand and eyes on the surrounding trees. Agrippa stepped away from them, tugging Baird with him.
Because it appears I'm not the only one who recognized your boy and his worth.
Then, more loudly, he said,
Allow me to remind you all that while he's only worth 1,000 gold coins dead, he's worth 5,000 alive. Choose wisely.